First reading, scripture reading today comes from Psalm 130. Listen to the word of the Lord. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, so that you may be revered. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning, more than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is great power to redeem. It is he who will redeem Israel from all its iniquities. Now you may wonder, because you're going to see that this next scripture lesson is rather long. We're going to have verses 1 through 45, chapter 11, really most of the whole chapter. As Jim mentioned last week, we here at Trinity usually follow the lectionary cycle, and is a three-year cycle that helps us as pastors not to just preach on our favorites or the easiest, but it also helps all of us to be immersed in the entire gospel, all of the Old Testament, New Testament, all of the Bible. Each of those years has a primary gospel lesson, but there are only 3 years in the cycle, and there are 4 gospels, and so John gets kind of stuck in different places in each one of the others. And so in the last few weeks, we have been in these passages from John, kind of dropped in, and often they are long passages because of that. This week, we have John chapter 11, verses 1 through 45. Before I read this scripture to you, let me give you a little bit of background, what has happened right before this. In chapter 10, you find Jesus giving many of the shepherding images that are in our, we use in our hymns, we use and we know very well, the I am the door of the sheep. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The good shepherd knows his own, and his own know him. The sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. After sharing these words, Jesus has actually escaped to the Jordan because people have sought to stone him or to arrest him, because he also said the words to them, I and the Father are one, which they thought was blasphemy. So he has escaped, retreated a little bit into Jordan, and then we find here these words, John 11, 1 through 45. Listen to the word of the Lord. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. And her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and you're going to go there again? And Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble, because they see the light of this world. But those who walk at night stumble because the light is not in them. And after saying this, he told them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him. The disciples said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he'll be all right. Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought that he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Mary and Martha to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, and Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, shall live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, Mary, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still at the place where Mary had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary get up quickly and go out, and they followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and she said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." And then Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, and he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said to him, "Lord, come and see." And Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" And then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. And Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench, because he has been dead for 4 days." And Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upwards and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." And when he had said this, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. Let us begin with prayer. Guide us, O God, by your word and spirit, that in your light we may see light, in your truth find wisdom, and in your will discover your peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Recently, my little sister and I, Jenny, were reminiscing about some of childhood memories. And we talked about how in our little neighborhood, we had lots of little girls who played together. Right across the street was the home of the Gwynns. We just called it Gwen. That was their last name. But we would go to Gwen's house. The Gwynns had 2 older girls that we would often play with right across the street. But this place was an unusual place because it was a place we could go in anytime, didn't even have to knock, could just go inside. And in that place, we found rest, we found understanding, somebody who would talk to us and listen to us and give us fudge and sweet tea. Don't tell my dad. So, which was something we couldn't have at home. It was a safe place. It was a place where we knew we were welcomed. And as we kept talking, we also remembered how there was a family right around the corner down the street of young boys. And there was one of them, the youngest, David, who found in our home that safe place. For you never knew when you would open a door and there would be David. David could come in and make himself at home. He loved being with us. He loved being at our house. And for us, in our house, for him, was his safe and comfortable place. When I read this story, and I know the other interactions that Jesus had with Mary and Martha and Lazarus, I think that that was what this was for Jesus. Going to Bethany was a place where Jesus could rest from the tension of life. It's like that friend that you have that when they come over, you can go over at any time, and they don't clean up for you because they don't need to. And when they come to your house, you don't tidy for them because you don't need to. You know each other. You love each other. And that is how I feel this was for Jesus and Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. In the beginning verses, we are told, kind of looking ahead, that in chapter 12, we find out after this event, Mary anoints Jesus with perfumed ointment. We also know that Jesus, in this thing, it very specifically says that Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. There's not many places where it very specifically says Jesus loved these people. Earlier, we know that Jesus visited with them, and Mary and Martha got into a little bit of a sibling tiff about who was doing the right thing when Jesus was there. Should we be doing all these things to make sure he's fed and has all the things that he needs, or should we be just sitting and listening, or perhaps it's both? So we know these are some of Jesus's very closest friends. And they have sent this message to Jesus, Jesus who is far away. They have sent him a message that says that Jesus, Lazarus, your friend, is ill. Notice that there is no request there. They have not asked him to come. Perhaps there is no need to make that request because they're so close that they believe that he would know what the need is. Perhaps it's actually not a request for him to do anything. They just wanted him to know that his dear friend was ill. Or they, like us, during any time of grief, are longing for those people that we love the most to be close to us, to be near us. We read in verse 5, 6, we hear that Jesus loved them. Very specifically, it says, accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Other translations actually word this as, Jesus loved Mary, Martha, and her brother Lazarus, so he stayed 2 days longer. So we don't really know why he stayed. Perhaps it was that he had a longer visit planned there, and 2 days was actually cutting it short. We don't know why. But what we do know is that he stays until he actually knows that Lazarus has died. He tells them in verse 14 when he's explaining to the disciples, he says, Lazarus is dead. So Jesus knows from that far distance that Lazarus has died. Remember, it's not like we are now where somebody can text you the information or we can find it very immediately. But Jesus also tells them, and he knows what will happen, and he knows that what will come out of what will happen, that many will believe. It indicates in verse 15 that Jesus even knows that raising Lazarus from the dead will lead to deeper faith on the part of the disciples and all those who witnessed the miracle. The truth is, he also knows that raising Lazarus from the dead will also lead to those who want to condemn him, stone him, arrest him. It will give them even more reason to do so. And so this happens just the week before we have our story of the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. This is on the road to Jerusalem. Jesus knows what is coming. So Jesus finally shows up there with Mary and Martha several days after the funeral. Lazarus has been in the tomb for 4 days. These two women who Jesus loves and who love him, they actually come and they very much confront him. Martha goes to meet him first and runs out. She was always a little bit the one that was a little more impetuous. But, you know, she comes back and she says, Jesus, if you had only been here, our brother would not have died. The pain that she feels is real. The man whom Jesus would have counted as a dear friend was dead, because he got there far too late. 4 days in the tomb. They've already had at this point all of the burial rituals. The people have come from the synagogue and have sat with them. They've already eaten all of the food that was delivered, the fried chicken, green beans, mashed potatoes, and macaroni and cheese. It's already gone. 4 days. Throughout history, there have been so many times when people have asked, or maybe have just wanted to ask, God, where were you? Jesus, where are you? How could you have let this happen? I can think in just the last bit that in my memory of in 2010, the earthquake in Haiti that killed an estimated 100,000 people. Just after Christmas in 2004, the tsunami in Southeast Asia that killed 250,000. You can go back and think about smallpox, that killed 300 million, numbers we can't even wrap our heads around. And that's in just the 20th century. The Spanish flu pandemic from just a century ago, 500 million who contracted it, including some of my husband's relatives far back. But of that number, even conservative estimates place the death toll at 50 million. Some say it's even twice that. We, like Mary and Martha, may want to confront Jesus. Lord, if you had been here, Lord, if you had been there. Jesus did not arrive in time to heal Lazarus. So Martha meets him with these very human, raw response. If you had been here, my brother would not have died. It is important to note that Jesus does not rebuke Martha for her words. Instead, he responds to her with a promise. He says, "Your brother will rise again." But Jesus then gives another promise to her. For she responds to that knowing that he will, knowing in the end he will. But he gives her a different promise. He says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." Jesus pulls the hope of future resurrection that Martha was thinking of, and he brings it into the present, promising abundant life that begins here and now. Martha declares her belief, and then she goes to tell Mary. Mary, who's in the home with the fellow Jews who are consoling her. Mary, who has stayed there in her sorrow. But Mary arises and she goes to Jesus. And she also greets him with the same words of anguish. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Jesus sees her weeping. And the Jews around her also weeping. And he is greatly troubled. And so he asks where Lazarus is laid. And we then have what in many translations is the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. Why did Jesus weep? Well, perhaps it is for his own loss of his dear friend. For we're told that he loved Lazarus. It could also be for his love of Mary and Martha and their loss. It could also be for what he knows is coming in the next few days and the loss that he knows that they will experience before the resurrection, the sorrow and the pain that they will have to walk through to be able to know the hope and the joy of death being defeated. We, as all humans, must die. He may be weeping because he knows that. We have to go through deep valleys sometimes. But Jesus also knows that there is victory over death. He knows what is coming. He knows that we must go through life and death, but that we receive victory over death through what he is about to go through in the next few weeks. Jesus does not answer the questions that we might wish he would answer. There are a lot of questions that I have that I'm going to ask when I get to see Jesus face to face. He does not explain to Mary and Martha why he didn't come sooner. But it is clear that Jesus is with them in their pain and their loss. He shares in their loss, and he feels their sorrow deeply. And now Jesus, in this story, does more than share the pain and sorrow of his friends. He acts. He prays to God, and then he calls Lazarus by name. In verse 44, we find what I think is one of the most unlikely sentences in the Bible: the dead man came out. He raises Lazarus. Can't you imagine it? Mary and Martha are just standing there shocked. Lazarus comes out very unsteady on his feet. It has been 4 days after all. He's completely bound with cloth. He can't see. And he kind of staggers out. The mourners who have been wailing suddenly cease that and their jaws drop open. And Jesus who embraces the now alive Lazarus. Jesus had seemed so slow in coming to Bethany. It seemed as if he was too late. But with Jesus, it is never too late. Even when we are convinced that all is lost, even when we are ready to concede to the power of death, it is never too late. Jesus demonstrates that there is no loss, no tragedy, no power in heaven or on earth or under the earth that can place us beyond the reach of his infinite love and abundant life. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." In Jesus, death has been defeated. In him, we can find life. But it's not just life after our physical death. We can find life even now. For Jesus calls us by name and calls us out of the graves that we have found ourselves in or we have hidden ourselves in. The graves of fear or doubt, the graves of guilt or sadness, the graves of brokenness and despair, the graves of isolation, the grave of addiction. Jesus calls us out by name, from darkness into light, from death into life, and not just any life. To abundant life. What does this abundant life look like? It is a life that is filled with love, with joy, with peace, with hope. Lazarus shows us a glimpse of this. Lazarus is given extra time, bonus rounds, as you may say. Lazarus is given this extra time. But he is not given that on earth to get his affairs together or even to go perfect his golf swing or maybe perhaps just to spend time with his family. No, what we see is the next time that Lazarus appears, which is in chapter 12, we find Lazarus reclining at the table with Jesus as they share a meal and being there as Mary anoints Jesus, washing his feet with expensive perfume, extravagantly caring for him. Mary and Martha also give us a glimpse of this by being close enough to Jesus to be able to be honest with him in their time of grief, to be able to call out to him. As the Psalms tell us, "Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord, hear my cry." They know Jesus enough. They trust and love Jesus enough and have a deep enough relationship to be honest with Jesus. When things hurt, when we feel grief, to be able to cry out and know that Jesus will feel their pain, will love them, and will care for them. For us, we can see this abundant life as Lazarus is to spend time with Jesus, as Mary and Martha to know Jesus and to share our deepest sorrows and our greatest joys with Jesus, to live a life knowing Jesus deeply, connected to God and connected to one another, to know that we are his sheep and he calls us by name. Friends, I ask you, What grave do you find yourself in today? Is it a grave of fear? Jesus is calling you. Listen. Jesus is calling your name, calling you forth from a grave of fear into faith, from guilt into feeling his forgiveness, from despair into hope, from brokenness into wholeness. Listen, Jesus is calling your name. Beloved child of God, come out of the grave and into life abundant. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, as you wept at the tomb of your friend, we know you weep for us and the graves that keep us from experiencing your abundant life. So we now pray for ourselves and for all those who struggle to hear your voice as you call us from death to life, or those who struggle to believe your promise that you have come to give us abundant life. We pray that you will open our ears to your voice and our hearts to your truth, that we may be renewed in hope and be given a strength to live a life connected to you. We pray that your glory will be revealed today and always, and walk with us on the track as we follow you on the pathway to Calvary and to Easter. I pray these things in Christ's name.